Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson just read. So, what's really in a name? Quite a bit, if you're a good company with a good product to sell that only sells because of your name and reputation. Quite a bit if your business is run on word-of-mouth advertising, or if your ability to sell depends on something like a feedback rating, such as on eBay. Quite a bit if your word is your bond and people trust what you say. But perhaps it's even easier to answer what's really in a name by looking at how much damage is done when a good name or reputation is ruined. What comes into your mind when I say Bernie Madoff, Enron, Watergate, Hitler, Pontius Pilate, or Cain? Surely you get the point. A good name is such a valuable thing that King Solomon says, a good name is more desirable than great riches, and to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Again, he says, a good name is better than fine perfume. Certainly, God also knows the value of a good name. He cares so much about a good name and reputation that He has given us a commandment that says we must not speak falsely against our neighbor or do anything that would hurt or harm his reputation. Instead, we are commanded to defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. That is as much for our benefit as it is for our neighbor's. Once a good name and thereby reputation are ruined and lost, it is hard to regain or rebuild that name and reputation. So when Jesus says in our text, Holy Father, keep them in your name, and while I was with them, I kept them in your name which you have given me, what do you think he is talking about? Well, first of all, it is obvious that this name that Jesus is speaking of is not the personal name of the Father, because Jesus says that the Father has given this name to him. Second, we know that the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. They remain two separate persons of the Trinity. But then this text tells us that they share the same name, and also that they are one. More than that, Jesus prays that his disciples would also be kept in this name that the Father has given to Jesus. He prays that his disciples would be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. You know that old joke, where there are two or three Lutherans gathered together, there will most certainly be a disagreement. Can two people on this earth ever really agree about something in mind and in spirit? Can they ever really be made one as Jesus prays that his disciples will be made one? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Your personal name is most certainly part of your identity, part of who you are. People know you by that name. But when you were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, you were marked and sealed with a new name, the divine name, the name of Yahweh, the only God. This name is a name that the devils fear and that angels praise. This name is a name that the world hates and that believers worship. It is a name that all people will know on the last day. And at this name, every knee will bow. This divine name is a name that every Christian bears on their forehead. And this name creates perfect unity. So what's in a name? Well, when it's the divine name, everything. For we share in God's being and in His life in this name that He has put on us and in us. And where God puts His name, there He has promised to be present to save. In just a few moments, our young catechumens will be confessing the Christian faith before God and this congregation. They will vow to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. They have learned that they cannot make this confession on their own, and that it is only with the help and by the grace of God that they can confess Jesus Christ as Lord and remain steadfast in this faith all the days of their life. But their salvation is not dependent upon their confession or upon anything at all that they do. Their salvation is only dependent upon the name that is on their forehead and what the one who has placed it there has done for them. They, like you and me and all the baptized, have been purchased at a price. We are not our own. We belong to the one who has put His sign and seal upon our heart and forehead. Sarah, Derek, and Dakota, as you grow in wisdom and in stature, you will frequently find yourself being tempted to be more and more like this world. You will be mocked and scorned and treated shamefully by them when you do not conform to their teachings and their lifestyle. You will most certainly make mistakes and grievously sin. Your faith will be put to the test, and at times it will be easy for you to believe that all is lost. The more you struggle to make things right yourself, the worse things are going to become. But you know and you have heard your good shepherd's voice. Listen to him. Pray to him. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him. He is there for you, just as he has promised that he would be. On those tough days and in those struggles, you will see your merciful, loving, leading shepherd coming to you to remind you of the mercy that he has given to you in holy baptism, where your sins were washed away, where you became a child of God, and where he put his divine name on you. He has invited you, and he will continue to lead you to come to this altar again and again to eat and drink his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and for strength that endures even to eternal life and salvation. These confirmands have learned to examine themselves. They have found that in examining themselves according to God's law, their actions, their thoughts, their words, and their deeds don't measure up. They have seen the ugly sin that resides in their heart. They know that there is no escaping this sin. But they have also learned of their loving Savior's grace and mercy towards them. Jesus bled and died for them. He bled and died for each one of you and for me. And He has created a living faith in you through holy baptism. In this meal that they are about to receive with the members of this congregation, they are going to come and eat and drink and taste and see that the Lord our God is good. St. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Our Lord has not driven these three young people to this place kicking and screaming. He led them by His sweet gospel proclamation. He has delivered them here to receive His gifts. Now, together with your Christian brothers and sisters, receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray often that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the faith to believe these words in the midst of trials and suffering and persecution. You have given us your name, and you have filled us with life and joy. You have given us your word, and we pray that you would keep us steadfast in that word of truth, and that you would continue to protect us from the evil one. In your holy, holy, holy name we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.